This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 395 in the series. This session of the show shares the audio recording of the budget subcommittee meeting held at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, November 18, 2020. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Members of the budget subcommittee and town administration personnel were in the council chambers. The public was remote via Zoom conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. Quick recap, incredibly good news on the FY 2021 budget compared to what had been feared in June 2020. They added back $75,000 to both the town clerk and recreation budgets based upon requirements and changes due to the pandemic. They also adjusted new growth number back upwards and then recommended to set aside $850,000 in the budget stabilization account. This had been emptied by withdrawals to balance the recent budgets. The show notes include my notes, taken via Twitter during the meeting, as well as the agenda and associated budget documents released for the meeting. The meeting runs about 32 minutes, so let's listen to the budget subcommittee meeting.
Time being 6 p.m., today being November 18th, 2020, I call the Town Council Budget Subcommittee meeting to order. Let's see here, I got a bunch of stuff I have to say. All right. The public will not be permitted to enter the building or participate in person. Only pre-approved participants on the meeting agenda will be allowed to enter the building and participate in person. Residents can attend and participate via the Zoom platform. Note to residents, due to the continued concerns regarding the COVID-19 virus and Governor Baker's declared state of emergency, we will be conducting a remote virtual budget subcommittee meeting for all public access and participation. In an effort to ensure citizen engagement and comply with the open meeting law regulations, citizens will be able to dial into the meeting using the provided phone number, cell phone, or landline required, or citizens can participate by clicking on the attached link, computer, or tablet required. The attached link and phone number will be effective for the duration of the meeting for citizens to ask questions or voice concerns. If residents are just interested in watching the meeting, it will also be live streamed by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 11, Verizon Channel 29. Link to access the meeting for November 18th, 2020. Let me see here. The link number is, and I'm going to do this multiple times, so if anybody wants to join in, the number, meeting ID, you got to go to Zoom. That number first on phone number is 929-205-6099. Again, 929-205-6099. One more time, 929-205-6099. 6099. The meeting ID 861-4402 8423. I'll do it one more pound. Thank you. And I will do it one more time, just like I'm reading off the Powerball numbers. All right. Meeting ID is 861-4402-8423 and press pound. And for those of you who are not familiar with pound is, it's that little number sign. So, all right. That being said, if you didn't get all that, just watch Channel 29 or on Verizon or Comcast Channel 11 and play along with us. So the first thing on the agenda is the FY21 budget update and discussion, and I will start with our town administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through you to the subcommittee members and the folks watching at home. So folks go to the town calendar and go to tonight's meeting. There's a packet in there with a memo and an update on where we stand with FY21. We did discuss this at the Finance Committee on November 9th, and they have also unanimously approved the recommendations that are before all of you tonight, and the Town Council will be considering these recommendations later this evening. All in all, I can summarize it easily by saying this is incredibly good news for the town of Franklin relative to what we were talking about back in May and June. As folks may remember, in June, we had a lot of questions and a lot of uncertainty. I'm proud to say that Beacon Hill came through. As many people may remember, we were looking at possibly a 10% local aid cut, maybe 15%, maybe 20%, maybe more. And the reality is that we didn't get cut as much as we wanted, or as much as we thought we would. The legislature agreed to do FY20 local aid and state assessment numbers commensurate with those numbers, which ultimately means, and we'll go through the control sheet in a minute, ultimately means that we lose far less revenue than we thought, which is really good. So before you tonight are a couple of recommendations. Number one, I'm proposing to increase two adjustments to the town budget. One is $75,000 for the town clerk's department, and one is $75,000 addition for the recreation department. We can go through those, and I'm happy to answer any questions that folks have. Additionally, it looks like we're going to have an anticipated surplus, because obviously there's still 6 or 7 months left to go here in the fiscal year, but we're going to have a surplus of $853,842, and the recommendation I'm putting before all of you tonight is to save a few of our dollars and put those into the budget stabilization fund. For the record, the town has $0, no money in the budget stabilization fund. And as we continue to navigate choppy waters throughout the rest of the fiscal year and including into FY22, I think that it's certainly smart and good policy to stash a few dollars away. If I can have everybody turn to page 5, there's no number on the bottom, but it's right after page 4, which does. It's the 2021 revenue and control sheet. And if you look, there's a blue column to the right. We had proposed FY21, which is really what was adopted by the council in June last year, and then also updated FY21. The updated column does reflect the Governor Baker's House 2 proposal. The House of Representatives and the State Senate are debating their budgets right now. We expect those to be done in December. But if you look down the right-hand column, you can look where the revenue is coming from and going. The tax levy, we assumed $650,000 in new growth. It's about as good of news as we can ever have by the fact that we're anticipating $1.65 million in new growth, which is a net increase of $1 million. If you follow down a little further into the state revenue, you're going to see Chapter 70, and you're going to see a bunch of parentheses, which ultimately shows that the town, through the formulas, the state formulas, is losing about $664,000 in state revenue. And while many will see that as a concern, I do not, because the reality is those numbers could be $2 to $3 million more with what we were talking about earlier in the year. So just to make sure that's clear for the folks listening at home, that's $2 or $3 million worth of services and jobs in this town of teachers and custodians and DPW workers and town hall staff that are being saved, as well as programs and expenses and other services for the town. So I just want to emphasize that, because some people may say, geez, why are we losing money? Well, we could have been losing 3 or 4 times that. So that's actually a big victory. If you move down one more line, you'll see other revenues, local receipts, general fund, $285,558. That's an increase in revenues, because we didn't have that in the budget in June. That's the hotel motel tax money. And if folks, all of you have been on this council for and involved in the community for many, many years, know that that is more than half less than what we normally get. We're normally in the 500, 600,000 range. So I think it's obvious that the economy has obviously taken a downturn, and there's a representative fact that obviously the hotels and motels, for obvious reasons in the pandemic, have struggled. That brings us to a net on the top portion of the revenue sheet to $620,000. If you move down a little further, you'll see one more parentheses, $389,000. It looks like a deficit, but it's not. That's the charter school reimbursement. So the assessment, excuse me. So we were anticipating a just under a $5.4 million assessment that the town was going to have to pay out to the charter school. And really, we're just under $5 million. So we're actually saving $400,000 approximately there. And if you really go all the way down to the bottom, you'll see $1.003,842,000. That's the unused levy. So that's the extra revenue that we have for the town of Franklin that we did not anticipate back in June. And then you'll see under there $150,000, which represents the deduction that I'm proposing, anticipating hopeful support for both the town clerk's office and the recreation department. And then you're left with $853,842 in unused levy capacity, assuming that we have support for the clerk as well as the recreation department. So that's the revenue sheet in a nutshell. We've also included in the packet the updated cherry sheet from the governor's office. On page 7 is the update of local receipts. Overall, again, excellent news thus far. And we'll talk a little bit more. I'm sure many of you will have questions for Ryan. But we've been able to see a consistent intake of local receipt revenues. Each month here on out is a big month for us in Franklin. Next month will be license renewal time for many restaurants and common victualers. Those are revenue sources that go into local receipts. And the big enchilada is the motor vehicle excise tax, which is not due until the spring. And we anticipate getting 100% of those revenues at that time. But all in all, looking at local receipts thus far, revenues look consistently good. And really at this point, I think we're all just bracing for January, February, March to see what happens in the economy and obviously the public health crisis, and if that has any effect on our local revenues. And finally, I added in an updated CARES Act FEMA reimbursement summary sheet. I will say, ultimately, we're going to blow through all that money. That's a good thing for the town of Franklin. We've been managing about $4.5 million in federal revenues. The bad news is that dries up on December 30th. And it's something that in my memo, I point out is a huge concern. I know the superintendent also has that same concern because ultimately throughout all of this pandemic, we've been blessed enough where all of what we've needed to get through this PPE, disinfectant, supplies for the fire department, supplies and even personnel costs for the police and firemen that had to go out on a quarantine because of a family member or close contact. All of these resources, including the school district as well, all these resources have been reimbursed for us. That completely goes away on December 30th without congressional action. And it's November 18th. I don't gamble. I'm not a gambler, but and this is why. I wouldn't be throwing $50 on the table because I have no idea what Congress will do or not do in the next 6 weeks. So it's anyone's guess. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, there's a lot here, happy to answer any questions from the committee.
Perfect. Councilors, any questions?
I just have one regarding the CARES Act. And those dollars that dry up, what happens? Yeah. What do we do come January, February, March, where it's still out there and we still need the PPEs, we still need the disinfectant, we mm-hmm. still need all of these things that we've been reimbursed for up through December 31st. What happens come January?
Yep. So there's a couple things. Number one, we'll still be able to apply for FEMA reimbursement. That's not 100%. Again, FEMA usually is, to be honest, a bottomless pit of money. Snowstorms, hurricanes, national emergencies. There is some cause for concern that at some point they don't become a bottomless pit anymore, but we will still be able to get reimbursed for just PPE at a fraction of the cost. Additionally, though, if you look at the trends of what we used over the last 7 months or 8 months, we're talking about from January to June, we're talking about 1 to 1.2 million worth for PPE. And the bottom line is that's why I'm proposing to hold the capital program. Normally in December and January, we'd be going through the capital, the annual capital plan. I wrote it on the memo, free cash is $1 million less than it was last year. So we're not gonna really have a lot of extra money to do the typical dump trucks, replacement this, police vehicles, et cetera. And the staff are aware of that. We're gonna have to at least reserve the free cash to have an additional amount of money on the side to be able to make sure that we get through January and February and March. I would say also our department heads and staff, Chrissy and Alicia, you know, we've put in large orders. we've put in large orders. I told the staff, I said, buy as much disinfectant right now as you can for the next 8 months. So that every single inch of the 1.3 million square feet can be disinfected as much as possible. I will say that global supply chains of goods and service, goods in particular, is getting very tough. You just can't simply buy a lot. In fact, the UV technology for some of the buildings has been delayed 4 or 5 weeks. And we're looking at delays for some other supplies as well. But I think it's prudent that we wait for the capital program until the spring to make sure that number one, we can get through the winter relative to the pandemic, as well as number two, we got to get through snow and ice and get through winter. And when we get to April, if we have some resources left over, we can go forward with a capital program. Okay. If there's an emergency out there for some reason, a broken piece of equipment, we may be able to consider those one-offs depending on what those are throughout the spring. But, you know, having a couple million in the bank to make sure that we have enough to be able to keep our schools and citizens safe and employees, et cetera, I think is a prudent decision. And I'm not so sure it would be wise at this point to, you know, start getting into, you know, doing additional projects on buildings and police vehicles and all sorts of other discretionary items.
Just to follow up with that, I guess my point that I was trying to make was, yeah, this is great news.
Yeah.
Everything that's being presented to us is great news, but let's not forget that this isn't over yet, and we need to be prepared, and we need to do our due diligence and make sure that come the first quarter of the year, or maybe even the first half of the year, we don't know. We need to be as best prepared as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. All set, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Councilor Hammond.
Oh, thank you, Chair Kelly. Through the chair to Jamie, if I may. I think it's great news, like Councilor Mercer said. And kudos go out to the assessors who kept that new growth going. That was great. And also the health insurance rate that you mentioned in your memo. I mean, that's the work of the Human Resource Department is fantastic. Can you explain a little bit more about the unemployment insurance and why that went up? So I'll let you can explain that a little bit first.
Sure. So through you, Mr. Chair, to the committee. So as it outlines in the memo, I have a short section on concerns. Chairman Mercer had already pointed this out about the PPE and what are the costs about dealing with the public health crisis. One of the other concerns I had that I just wanted to highlight, when the finance director looks through the year to dates, all of our departments are spot on. They're doing a great job managing their budgets. In fact, we've really actually been able to save quite a bit of money through folks, you know, leaving and maybe not refilling a job right away, waiting a couple months. So everybody's budgets are in very, very sound shape. Otherwise, I'd be here to try to patch some of the gaps if they were realistic. However, as Councilor Hanlon pointed out, one of them that is not has been the unemployment insurance line item, which I think we all have to expect that as we hit the fiscal year, and particularly relative to the school department, which had a vast majority of this, with some of the redundancies earlier in the summer, the unemployment insurance line item is a little bit over budget. The good news on top of that is we did negotiate with Harvard Pilgrim a 15% discount on both town and employee health insurance as part of the fact that hospitals and healthcare services weren't open in April and May. And so we did work, like many communities, to get that benefit. We believe at the end of the year, once this all shakes out, it's all in the same line item. So once this all, we kind of get to the end of the year, we feel like there'll be enough revenue in there to cover that gap on the unemployment insurance. And we're optimistic, hopeful, that, you know, we won't have to get into a situation where there are more jobs lost and there are more people on unemployment. We do plan on that note, just to rehash, to remind everybody, we have not laid anybody off on the municipal side. So that's good news. We did do a series of furloughs at the senior center and the library. We're excited to announce that it looks like that we're going to be able to restore those library employees back in January because of the operating budget scenario. And they've worked throughout the entire election and made a lot of friends, and they're just incredible folks. And it looks like we're going to continue the curbside pickup at the library. We're going to go back to regular hours to at least do that. And so we think that that line item will be right on budget and right on target by the end of the fiscal year. But I appreciate that. I do give a lot of credit to the HR department and the finance department for putting in a lot of hard work negotiating with a health insurer to knock down the premiums. And it did save our employees 15% for that for that month as well. So it was kind of a win-win, and we appreciate Harvard Pilgrim working with us.
Thank you for that. Can I continue? Thank you. So, you know, we talked about the free cash and putting the capital budget, capital programs on hold. I just worry sometimes about the maintenance of the vehicles and how important that is. And I didn't know, I was wondering like when the maintenance contracts are up, like when do we have to make sure that we have money to pay for that? I mean, can we wait until May to renew those things if we have the money? If we don't, we need to spend it on PPE. That's what we need to do. But those are things I think that are important to keep. We have to keep everybody safe, but if the vehicles don't work, then that's not safe either, right?
That's correct. Through Mr. Chair, I mean, I haven't heard of a scenario yet. Knock on wood. I haven't gotten a request from a department head.
Okay. All right.
Which would really fall a lot on, fire, DPW, and police. I haven't gotten a request from them saying any vehicle is in trouble and say we're going to lose a snowplow, right?
Yeah.
I think if Brutus came to us and said, geez, I'm going to lose a big piece of equipment for some reason, you know, we'd have to try to look at that and see whether or not we can spend the money to get through another year or whether we would have to make an emergency run. But the good news is I haven't had any requests thus far for any of that stuff.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent news. Keep knocking on wood, right? And also, I think it's a great idea to help the clerk. I'm assuming that the clerk had tons of more people working and had to do a lot more for this huge election.
Yep.
So I think that's a great proposal, as well as keeping the rec department going. Everybody works really, really hard. I'm sure that you thought that the revenues would be less, and then we started the concerts on the common, and then July came, and then we could actually have camps again, and so that probably wasn't in the budget, but I think it's a great idea to help support those. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councilor Plager, anything that you'd like to add? Well, I'm not a man of few words, so I will. I'll go from here. Piggyback on Councilor Hamlin's comment about capital, I would still, and although it's not in my purview, but I would still like to see the items that are going to be requested sent to capital prior to the end of the year, as always. My feeling is that if the police chief needs bulletproof vests and we don't say yes, we've had enough problems or concerns in town, then I want to make sure that, you know, we don't wait and get that. So if there's a major concern for something, we should handle that now. We can put off, you know, putting the 350 for an ambulance in for a few months. I get that during right now what's going on. But that was my comment on the Capitol. So this all started on a football field in the middle of the summer, where half of us got lambasted on social media because we were mean and we, you know, we asked hard questions and on and on and on, to finally get us to the point here where we're $853,000 in the black so we can actually pay for our employees and make sure that the community they live in and they turn on water runs and they have a football field they can play on and that we can hold an election and we can do everything that we did. So we are actually able to do that. So, you know, I think before we go too far, we really needed to thank the department heads, the town employees, Chris, Alicia, Chrissy, town administrator, Jamie, Melanie, Debbie, Tom, the town council, and myself, because, you know, really what should happen in this town right now is people should be flooding social media and flooding our emails saying, thank you, we don't need an override, because we sat here in a football field 4 or 5 months ago talking about needing a potential override, and we've been able to figure out how we fix that. So for that dirty word that nobody likes to hear in this town, override, you're safe. And I'm sure I'll get an email tomorrow that says, oh, well, we should still go for one. Well, you got another 2 years to prepare before we have to worry about it. So we once again saved it. What I will, I won't correct you, Jamie, but what I will make the statement, because I don't agree with you on, is your kudos to the state. $664,974. That's fantastic. Unfortunately, it's $203,000 less than we got from them last year. So they continue to go down. So if anybody's sitting here thinking, oh God, the state came out and helped us out, they didn't. They just slashed us some more while we make less money. And towns like, and I'll give you last year's number for Wayland, got $138,000 more. So we get cut, they get more. That's how it's been. And if anybody wants to go on the DOR site and look at it, they'll see that some of the towns that, whether you want to argue with me or not, it doesn't matter, don't need to be, should be cut, never get cut. And Franklin sits here worrying about how we're going to fund our schools, fund the unfunded mandates that everybody thinks is fantastic, but actually leaves the burden onto us to pay. And every year it becomes worse and worse. So $664,000 in less money. I don't think that's great news, and I'm not applauding our legislators. I think they need to fight for us even more than what they are, and I don't think they're fighting currently. So, and I'm happy to talk to any of them about that. We also have to keep in mind the state is $8 billion in debt. So they have a $2.5, a $3 billion rainy day fund. Anybody can do the math. There's not enough money there. So this is just going to continue to roll down. So if we don't figure out how we're going to survive on our own as we move down this process, we're going to be surely in a grave danger as we move forward. So great that we're talking about $853,000 of positive. I'm 100% for the rec and the clerk receiving the $150,000. Sorry, Nancy, I didn't mean to forget you over there. So I'm very happy. I'm very happy that we were able to do it. I'm very concerned of what the future looks like. And I think unless we start really focusing on how we're going to raise revenue within our own town to create it, and we've yet to have that conversation of a careful balance of growth over preservation, and unless we start doing that and having that conversation, we're going to be in, it's no different than the election. You're going to be arguing on one side or the other versus coming together and having a conversation of how we come together to make this work. And it's not working currently. And Franklin is spiraling down into a problem. And we really need to start pushing our differences and our egos aside and start having that conversation. So, but all that said, great job. And I appreciate you keeping the 33,000 people in Franklin, Massachusetts, out of an override once again. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman Kelly. One more quick note, I should have mentioned on the Capitol, you are correct. Once we get through tonight and probably the holiday, you know, next week, some of my time is going to be spent. I just talked to the finance director and finance team today. I'm going to put out a memo to try to outline the budget calendar for the staff. I really feel passionately, like we all do, we want to get back into a normal rhythm with what we're at in that time. And so that those capital requests that you asked for, we are going to ask them for those. We're going to get the full plan. We're going to see what their priorities are. And we're going to set up some criteria. So that will probably be, that will probably be more like January is when I'll have those meetings with department heads. Because I want them to spend December to try to get their programs together and what their requests are now that we have some certainty for FY, or at least as much certainty as we have for FY21. So I just wanted to confirm that you're correct and that is what we're going to do.
No problem. Is there anybody on Zoom or on the call that would like to have a concern, raise a question, raise their hand, say something? Good. Even better. So you want to take three votes on this? You want to?
Yes,
okay, so we're going to take a vote for a recommendation to for the rec department and the town clerk. We're going to take a vote for the recommendation of the budget stabilization deposit. Do you also want to take a vote to send this to the council? Would that be?
I think that's what all the votes are.
Okay, it's so you're happy with those two?
Yep, absolutely. Okay. If you want to do the rec and the town clerk is one, you know, $150,000 for both, that's fine. Or you could just do an individual vote for each department. It might be cleaner if you do three votes, one okay. for rec, one for clerk, one for staff.
Chairman Mercer, would you like to give the motion?
Sure. Make a motion that we appropriate $75,000 to the town's recreation department.
Second.
Jamie, I think you've said everything you had to, correct? Any discussion? Seeing none, the vote will come on vote for $75,000 to the recreation department's budget. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
I'd like to make a motion that we appropriate, we recommend to the council to appropriate $75,000 to the town clerk for our recent election and upcoming elections.
Second.
Jamie, all set? Perfect. Discussion? Seeing none, the vote will come on a vote to move $75,000 into the town clerk's budget. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And
one to go.
Lastly, like to make a motion that we appropriate $853,842 to the stabilization fund.
Second.
Jamie?
Budget, just the budget stabilization.
Budget
stabilization.
Sorry, just had to.
Perfect. Yep. Budget stabilization, we can do that. Councilors, any questions, concerns, comments? Seeing none, the vote will come on moving, was it 150,000? No. 853,842 to the budget stabilization account. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Yeah. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
No discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Moving on to the town council meeting.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.